All is quiet in the NBA right now, and so on today's episode of Locked On Suns, we're having a little bit of a different show. The man behind the Planet Orange Instagram account, Alex Alvarez, is going to give his thoughts on all things Suns, tell you a little bit about what it's like running an Instagram account, followed by Mikal Bridges, Devin Booker's buddies, and more, and his fandom story. We always like to get into that in August, so let's get started. Locked On Suns, let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past five seasons and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. A big thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Monday. We're still going strong Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all throughout the month of August. So if you've not already done so, hit follow or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Make sure we're in your feed every single time a new show goes up. And if you're finding us on YouTube, a big, big shout out. That's the best way to support the show. Hit subscribe down below and drop me a comment as you listen to this first segment on your thoughts, because Alex and I are just going to dive right in here. Man, you were posted on the story of the Instagram account the other day basically saying you're kind of tired of the KD stuff, right? Like, I think we're all there, and this week things just got, like, it hit a new level where people are trying to find the whereabouts of KD after John Gambadoro tweets out that he's here. I think that was Thursday night, and then it's like, okay, maybe he's not here. Is he at a Chick-fil-A? That was the rumor for a minute, right? There. And I kind of agreed with what you were saying of, like, can we all just set it aside and just, like, if it happens, it happens, but I'm very done. Even not even talking about it, but even thinking about it personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe, you know, when the news first came out, I was very much so like, oh my God, I was excited. That was my first initial reaction. And then really getting to, like, understand the situation where he's not in control. He's not bullying the Nets to doing really what he wants to happen. And I feel like from the Nets perspective, I feel like they messed up that James Harden trade. And I think he took a lot of flack for that, you know, so I don't think they're going to want to repeat that again if they do end up trading a piece like Kevin Durant. And then, you know, a bunch of stuff transpired, and I'm not saying that I wanted to get rid of anybody because I love my boys, but, you know, DA was a big trade piece in that scenario. We ended up signing them back, and I love Davin DA here. Awesome. But then that happened. There's so much stuff was going on that at some point it just kept carrying on, and this rumor and this rumor. And then, you know, you had John saying he's coming to Phoenix, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's going to be here tonight. And it's just so much, you know, and it's just, I've given up at this point. Obviously there's always a chance, but I'm not holding my breath on it. And I don't think Suns fans should at this point.
Do you think they are? Let me ask you it that way. Cause you know, you get messages, I'm sure you see comments from people. You know, a lot of people follow the team through your account. Do you think people are still amped up for that, or do you think they've moved on?
It's definitely decreased, because at first I was getting just a bunch. I'm always getting a bunch of messages, but a lot of it was like, oh my God, we're going to get them. Like, it was just people like making shirts and jerseys and names. And I'm like, it was that from the jump. And I've definitely seen the conversation die down within the messages and comments and stuff along that line. Interactions on my stories, posts, and all that. People don't seem to be holding their breath as much as they were from the jump. So it's kind of dying off again. There's still always a chance, but it's definitely died down a bit in the valley.
It feels like that's how it is in the NBA. I've across the country in terms of fans and whatnot, but, like, I still do think he gets traded.
I think so too. I don't know where he's going to get traded to, you know, and I don't know when. I don't know how that's going to go. I see the Nets kind of dragging it out into the season and seeing if he's even going to play, you know, because we have no idea what Kevin Durant's thinking, what he wants to do. So I think they're going to drag it out, see if he's going to play the season at all. And worst case, I mean, they'll trade him at the trade deadline. I see that kind of happening, but I definitely see it being dragged out. I thought it was going to happen soon. And then a couple of weeks went by, and then a month went by, and then it just kind of kept going. I'm like, it's not going to be soon.
No, I'm with you in terms of, like, some of the other stuff getting thrown out there at this point makes me a little skeptical that the Suns have the best offer. There's still the chance of he wants to be here so bad that it happens. So I get Suns fans who are still holding out hope. I still think the Suns are in this. I'm like you. I don't even know what to say anymore because I don't know where this goes next. But to your point with Harden, my last point on this, because I want to get to some other stuff from the team this offseason with you right now too, is you mentioned with the Harden stuff how ugly it's been for them lately, right? They basically had I guess the season, the real COVID season, they were pretty good. When they got Harden, they were healthy for the playoffs. Obviously, then the second round, guys get hurt, and KD takes them to seven, whatever. That was like a good season, all things considered, but it was still pretty chaotic. And then this year, they were just completely ruined by all the chaos. So, like, imagine another season now where KD, if he does start sitting out games or it does get ugly, that's like three straight seasons where you don't even know what your team's going to be like. You don't know what's coming next every day. Like, that part of it makes me, that's why I think he does get dealt. But what else do you stuck out this offseason? You mentioned DA. How did you think that all went down? Is there anything else that excited you or you're still thinking about?
I don't know how to feel, to be truthfully honest. I've said it a few times on my page. I'm in a bit of turmoil myself as a fan, you know, because obviously we saw what our team did last year in the regular season. It was amazing. It was historic. It was great to watch. And rather it was injuries, if it was COVID, we saw this team struggle in the first round. You know, they just did. And then we saw them go up, very inconsistent come postseason. And not that I was uncomfortable running it back with the same team, because obviously a very talented team. But I feel like we almost didn't do too much in the offseason. We lost JaVale. And obviously, yeah, we had some, like Josh Okogie came. I can't think of the other guy's name from the Spurs that came over.
Landale.
We got my guy from Ohio State, well, Indiana technically, but, you know, Ohio State, my guy. So we had Dwayne Washington. There we go. I almost forgot his name. And, I don't know. I don't know how to feel. I'm happy we got DeAndre Ayton back. You know, I think he wanted to be here. I think he obviously wanted to get paid like anybody else, you know, make the most money as you can while you can. I don't blame him for it. So excited to have him back. I just don't know how to feel at the moment. I still feel like the Suns, James Jones works in silence. You know, we all know that. So we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with Kevin Durant. Even that's still on the table. I don't know. But there are a lot of free agents out there. And I'm pretty sure, and again, I said it the other day, is Langston Galloway is kind of like, there's a lot of free agents just waiting for jobs here. Yeah. We're all kind of just waiting to see what happens with Kyrie and Durant. So there's a lot of people out there I feel like we can still get. There's a Dennis Schroeder who I like. I know Sexton's still kind of having issues with the Cavs. And there's a lot of phrases out there I think that can help the Suns. And if we can just make some simple additions, I wouldn't mind running it back with the same squad for the most part.
Yeah, it would be – I think fans would be pretty bummed if it felt like the same – basically the same group that just dropped the ball in Game 7 came back. But – you also have to be honest, and to your point on even, like, whether the Suns would actually get KD at the deadline, you also have to, like, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the summer, and it's like, you can make trades and additions throughout the season if you want to, right? And so, like, I guess that's kind of where my mind is going now, whether it is the KD stuff that lasts into the season or if it's some of these other possibilities, it's like, yeah, maybe you sign Schroeder sometime before camp if he's interested in playing with CP again. That seems like an obvious one that they would want to be looking at. And maybe some other stuff happens between now and the deadline. That I do think that would bump people out. But I want to get to another question for you because you approach this, you talk about the DA stuff the same way I do. And it feels like you're a little nervous about what people, because people are so diehard DA sometimes. I can feel you sometimes getting into that place that I get to where I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm about to cross a line. I'm going to get some comments. I'm going to get some tweets at me, whatever it might be. I got to hold off here.
Yeah, no, my biggest thing, to be honest, is I don't express my opinion fully. I'll say that. I will be honest with that. A lot of that has to do with, like, you know, said, I got, like, Devin Booker's friends following me. I got Mikhail who follows me. I got Chris Paul who watches my stories. His brother follows me. His mom follows me. And not that I have anything bad to say about these guys because it's basketball and it's purely basketball opinions. But, you know, I had, like, DeAndre Ayton's brother unfollow me on Instagram. I didn't even say that. There's certain stuff that I, like, I try not to say, but I post stuff because I want people to, you know, like, things I'm interested in, I think, that are newsworthy. You know, I share that, put my somewhat opinion on it. And I think I refrain more so, not just because the general fan base, but more specific people who follow me, and I don't want to offend family. If I'm being truthfully honest, it is more that than anything.
No, I think that's totally reasonable, and I want to hang on that point in our next segment, because I feel the same way. I mean, I know people listen to this show that work there too, and like it is one of those things you have to be aware of. So let's get into some of that stuff here in the next segment. First, though, guys, today's show brought to you by Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of the honestly most delicious foods I've ever tasted. And obviously that can sound like an exaggeration. I know you're probably already skeptical, but I can genuinely tell you these new cookie dough chunk puffs, I think I got 4 or 5 in the sample pack they sent so that we could tell you guys about them. And I think I ate them 4 or 5 days in a row, finished it off in less than a week because it's a treat. It feels like a treat. It feels like you're eating candy. It feels like you're getting like some thing you're looking forward to, but it's packed with protein and it's actually good for you, which is the craziest part of a Built Bar, no matter which one you try. But this one, it has like that salt in there that tastes like cookie dough. It has the chocolate puff or chunks and then the puffy marshmallowy inside. Delicious stuff, but only 160 calories, low in sugar as well, packed with that good collagen protein, which your body absorbs efficiently and has a ton of health benefits for everybody. And of course, tastes delicious. So ditch the calories, fat, and sugar and grab yourself a Built Bar now. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, back here with Alex Alvarez, who runs the Planet Orange Instagram page. And we were talking just before that break, Alex, about the line you kind of have to walk with these things. And like you run probably, as far as I've ever seen, the biggest page that Suns fans look at. And I've had friends, you put a couple of my tweets on it in the past and people will send me stuff and be like, damn, like, look. And I'm like, okay, like, you know what I mean? I guess that's cool, like, but it shows me how many people pay attention to your page. And looking through, because I follow some of these people on IG myself, so it shows up that they follow your page too. We were talking about some of them, whether it's books, kind of, you know, family and friend group. He keeps things tight, so those people are really, they matter to him. And it's Mikhail, and it's, you mentioned some people in DA's circle and whatever it might be. But what's the craziest moment you've had where you're like, whoa, like, people are seeing this stuff who I never would have thought are seeing my stuff?
Man, that's tough. So it's hard to vary. So I'll give you a couple, actually. Javon Carter, who still follows me actually to this day, he's not on the Suns anymore. I remember I was posting a story because when the COVID the pandemic broke out, my friend worked for the Suns. He gave me a bunch of game-worn shoes. So I was posting all of them and showing that stuff. And Javon DM'd me randomly, and he was like, I'm going to bless you with a pair. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, all right. Like, awesome. So I would, he'd message me every now and then. I was trying to get down to Phoenix, couldn't do it. And it was actually the first playoff game against the Lakers. And I was like, I'm going to be in town for this game. Like, can I give me the shoes then? And he was like, yeah, man. He's like, just get there for warmups. I'll meet you there. Blah, blah, you know, whatever. I show up and I'm so excited just to be there for the first time that I almost forgot about the shoes and I forgot about the whole interaction. Okay, it's horrible. And I'm there with my mom and I'm just like, you know, the moment was amazing because last time we were in the playoffs, I was super little and I was just absorbing all of it. And all of a sudden it clicked and I was like, oh my God, I have to go meet Javon Carter for these shoes. And so I start run over and I see him, he's working out. So I'm like, okay, I got to get down there. And as I get to the tunnel area, kind of behind the basketball court, there's a security guard there. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, do you mind if I walk down there real quick? I was like, I got to meet Javon Carter. He kind of looked at me like, you know, you're like, you're lying. Like, you know, whatever. And eventually he was kind of just like, all right, bro, like I didn't see nothing. So he literally turned away and I run down to the bottom. And I don't know if you know a Veronica, the Suns tutu fan.
Yep.
She kind of, yeah, so I freaking love her. And I get down there. She's like, come with me. So I'm talking to her for a little bit. And Javon, the moment I get down there, he walks back into the tunnel. And I'm like, no, like I forgot. So I shot him a text. I was like, hey man, I was like, I was standing here, but you didn't hear me. Obviously I wasn't there. So I was like, there's no way he's going to acknowledge this text before the playoff game, come back out and give me shoes. I'm standing there. And all of a sudden I see him come out with two pairs that he was wearing and he like signed them, came over, gave them to me. And I was just like, dude, that was super cool. And it's cool to think that like, it just started for me not even asking him, just kind of posting stuff. And out of the kindness of his heart that he was able to come out and do that. Another weird thing was super cool. If you know Devin Booker's brother, Devon, yep. Super nice guy. His friend, this whole group of, you know, people around him, they're super awesome, super humble people. I was sitting courtside, and I believe I'm not mistaken, it was a game that I sat next to Bill Russell. And it was when Kobe Bryant passed away and the Suns did like a memorial mm-hmm. thing for him. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there. I remember seeing Devon. He wasn't sitting courtside. He was sitting somewhere kind of like first row on the stands kind of. And we kind of made eye contact. And I didn't think much of it. But he got up and like came over and like, what's up, Alex? Like came over and hugged me. And I was just like, I played it cool, you know. But in my head, I was like, yo, like that's like super chill. Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened. But those two were – you know, super cool to me.
Yeah, it that story I feel like is the exact type of thing that shows you why Javon's still so like beloved here. You know what I mean? Like he got his opportunity to finally make it in the league here, and you can tell like he never really forgot that. And you know, the guys still love him, whether it's Mikhail or Cam or whoever. You know,
they all work out together too still. So this is super close, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I know that I think Mikhail and him used to go dog walking together. If you would see during COVID when they were all cooped up, they used to go walk their dogs and whatnot. So, yeah, and Book's people, like, they've embraced Phoenix too, you know? Like, that's genuine. If you're ever down there, you know, just kind of sitting before, like, way before the game starts, you'll always see those guys. And if they're in town, if they're around, and he's super good about always – you know, saying hi to the fans around. So, yeah, that's really cool, man. But so how long how long have you run the account? When did you first start, like, really getting into it?
I think it was 2017. I don't know the exact date. I think it was July or something. 2017, I'm pretty sure, was the year. So it's been about 5 years now.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Time kind of flew by. It's crazy. Yeah, I didn't realize, like, making it, it would take up a lot of my time in a good way. Like, I didn't realize how much it was going to entail, you know, and how much it would grow and what it would do for me personally. But it's absolutely amazing. But I think it was 2017 when I started getting really into it.
I think I first became aware of it 2020, probably, like, you know, when we're all just on our phones, like, 10 times as much as we used to be all of a sudden. But that's cool. I mean, what types of, because I'm sure the fan interaction stuff is probably really cool for you as well, like getting to have that connection. I know that's probably the coolest part of it for me of doing this show, is just the different moments. Like, I did a thing where I had people be able to call in on a Google Voice line after the finals last year. And I was like, just call and leave me voicemails. I got like only like 5 or 10, because I know people are always, you know, they might be nervous to send their voice or whatever, but just hearing from people, getting to see what people are talking about in the comments, like, that's really awesome for me. So are there any moments like that that come to mind for you?
Man, people are awesome. Like 95, 99, you know, a high number percent of the interaction is absolutely amazing. Obviously you get some people just because people are people that are, it's, you know, it's a bit strange. but yeah, no, I have embraced it, man. It is one of the coolest things that's ever happened in my life. I'll say it real quick. I started the page 2017. Someone really close to me passed away. And throughout my life, sports has been a positive escape for me, you know, and I've always loved the Phoenix Suns. And I was like, let's just do something, you know, and it started off something simple. And then it grew into this. And as far as, you know, interaction with fans, it's awesome just having normal basketball conversations. Obviously, I'm not even lying. I can't answer all DMs. I have like the 99 plus requests and it just pours in, especially during the season. So I don't mean to be rude to people, but it's just hard answering everybody. It's at times overwhelming, but I enjoy it because everybody's so excited to talk to me and hear my opinion. So I do enjoy it. But it's, I think more so it's been the in-person interactions that I was very not too – I don't, not that I wasn't comfortable with, because I'm fairly social, but it caught me off guard, you know, because at first I remember going to a game one time and, you know, I have a couple of people, they're like, Planet Orange. And I'm kind of like, you know, just kind of turn hide a little bit. I was like, ah, this is kind of weird. And then as time went on, I was super excited to meet them. And I've taken pictures of people. I've signed 2 autographs, which is the funniest thing to me. They were little kids, but they were like, dude, like, I remember one kid was meant a lot to me, because growing up, we didn't have a lot of money. And couldn't watch the Suns game, so I listened to it on the radio a lot. I had a little portable radio, and this kid, he came up to me and he was like, I just want to tell you thank you. He was like, I never got to watch Suns games. He's like, but you went live for them a lot. And he's like, I was able to watch them and do this stuff. And I was like, dude, that meant so much to me because that was so cool. Like, you know, it was a cool little moment there, signed like a hat or something for him. But yeah, the fan interaction has been absolutely amazing. Random people out there. I was in the bathroom at the first playoff game, and there was a group of like six grown men. I'm in there, and they're all Alex Planador's playing, and they just like lost their cool in there. It was the funniest thing. That's hilarious. I've had a lot of interactions, and I absolutely love it. Still weird to me because I'm not like famous by any means, you know, not by any means. I know that, but it's super cool that like people follow the page and are excited to meet me and stuff like that. So I really do love it.
No, it's a great community. That's one of the things that, you know, when the team was bad, I think we all kind of knew that, but it was harder because the team was just bad. So there wasn't a lot of stuff like it was negative in a way. Whereas now, like the past 2 years and like, you know, we've all had our own challenges with all of it, but like the team being good right at the time when they were has been so cool for some of those moments. Cause it's like, we all like really needed this in a way, you know, like to be able to have something. You talked about it being an escape. So like, I kind of appreciate it more. Like if they had been really good in like 2018 and then super bad during COVID, I almost feel like I would have been kind of bummed about that. Whereas the timing, it's like that really worked out well, but Let's go back a little bit because I like to talk, especially during these off-season shows, about people's just kind of their relationship with the team. I grew up here. I have this old school flag. I have more stuff that I haven't been able to put up on the walls, but I'd love to hear your story on rooting for the team growing up and all that good stuff. We'll do that right after one more quick break.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about the page with Alex Alvarez, who runs the Planet Orange IG page. We've talked about this off season, but let's go back even further. So you mentioned you were young the last time they made the playoffs. In 2010, I was 13. So I can relate to not feeling like I experienced those Nash years it's one of those things where being a kid, it's really cool, but like you don't remember it to quite the same way that you would have if you were an adult. So what was kind of like your relationship? Were you born and raised in Arizona? What was kind of like your path to becoming a Suns fan?
Yeah. So I was born and raised Tucson, Arizona, which is like a couple hours out from Phoenix. It's funny because the Suns are my only Arizona team that I do like.
I'm so jealous. I wish I only liked one.
I people can't stand that I don't like anybody else Arizona wise. It's the funniest thing. But yeah, as far as the Suns go, my uncle, I'm named after Alex actually, he was just a Suns fan. I mean, it was a fairly simple thing. He was a Suns fan. We were super close growing up, and he would buy me Suns stuff. He took me to a Suns camp, actually. I don't remember how old I was. I was fairly little because it was a Rajah Bell, Eddie Howe Suns camp. that was obviously a while ago, but it just kind of started from there and never left. You know, I love Steve, and then Steve Nash. That was one of the reasons why back in the day I grew my hair out super long. So I think it was just an influence of my uncle, Steve Nash, and just him kind of keeping me involved with the Suns. So I'll give him all the credit. That's why I'm a Suns fan.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I mean, obviously in those days, like everybody kind of kept up with it.
Yeah.
But I never was like, I didn't have family who was like that. And I was the same way as you. I had like regular basic TV, but I didn't have cable. So back in those days, if anyone remembers, they used to split the games where some were on cable, but some would be on channel 45 on like regular TV. And so I could watch those, but I couldn't watch when they were on like Fox Sports Arizona back then. So
yeah,
I just would watch, and then like eventually, you know, grew up and got to cover the team and start going to games in person and all that, which has been really cool. But yeah, it's wild, man. But here's another question for you, because I like to do this one too, because this team has had so many interesting random characters. People who listen to this show know. The two guys for me are Boris Diaw. He's not super random. He was super important to this team, but, you know, not most people's, like, favorite player ever. But I loved him growing up. And then more recently during the 2013-14 season, Gerald Green. Like, those are my two, like, random Suns that I'll always like love till the day I die. Who is like the guy that's like not Marion, not Nash, not Book, but like the deep cut dude that you just like have always loved?
Leandro Barbosa. I've always loved Barbosa. I don't, the blur, man. I don't know what it was. Well, I guess I can kind of narrow it down. I'm a sports fanatic. Soccer wise, I love Brazil. Found out he was Brazilian, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. And then it just a great, you know, awesome player, always hustling, leaving it out there. I just loved his energy. So it's definitely Barbosa. And then I'd have to steal one from you, Gerald Green. That guy was lethal. I freaking loved him. I didn't even know he was missing a finger, by the way, until they came out with the foam finger.
Oh yeah.
And it was like one, and I was like, why is it missing a finger? And I was like, oh my God, like that's even cooler. So yeah, I think those are my top two guys, Barbosa and Gerald Green. I freaking will always love those guys.
Yeah, Barbosa's a weird one. Like, I obviously think people, you know, here know what he meant, but it kind of feels to me like nationally, like those Warriors seasons might end up being more what he's remembered for. Like, I just feel like he was so under the radar at that time. I know he won Sixth Man of the Year, and like, you know, maybe if you were a really big NBA fan at that time, you would have an awareness of him, but he was just always like the third, fourth, fifth guy on those teams. So I'm glad you brought him up, because I do worry like he's not going to stay in people's memories the same way some of those other players did.
And I can't even forget Kelly Oubre. I absolutely was part of all that fandom. I still love Kelly Oubre to this day. He's freaking awesome. I got to talk to him a few times. He's genuinely a good person. So Kelly Oubre is always going to have a special place too. Can't forget that, man.
Yeah, you're lucky. He liked fans more than he liked media. So I got to interview him one-on-one once during COVID when he launched the Dope Soul stuff. But but at any time he had to talk to us, like covering games and whatnot, he didn't like to do that. So I obviously he never had a bad interaction with him, but
yeah,
and I get it. There's just guys who don't like that part of the gig, but that's a good one to mention, because that's another one where like I remember doing a show when the day that Chris Paul got traded here. Yeah. Well, I did like one show just about like, what does this mean? Chris Paul's here, et cetera. But then I did like the next day, I did a whole segment on like, everybody here is going to have this really weird thing where we're all going to remember how big of a role Kelly played in kind of turning things around like culturally. But I don't feel like anyone outside of Phoenix is going to get it. Like, they're all going to be like, Kelly Oubre, like, come on, like, whatever. You know what I mean? But he mattered here. He really turned things around. Yeah.
Yes, he really did. It's so under the radar. Yeah, if you're not a Suns fan, you really don't get it. You really don't.
You're just thinking like that dude who's inefficient and like always bounces around and whatever. But it's like you have to understand how few good players there were on this team at that point in time. So even getting a dude who just like played hard, committed to being here, re-signed here, all that good stuff, and like got along with the fans the way he did, like, they just needed that so much, especially coming off the Trevor Ariza nonsense and TJ Warren and all these guys who were just trying like hell to get out. And then he finally he just liked it here, and it was like a breath of fresh air in a way.
Yeah, I freaking love Kate. Yeah, he brought so much energy, and like, loved the fans, and he showed it. You know, he was awesome. He was awesome.
All right. Well, that was fun, man. I really appreciate it. You have a TikTok too. What's the @? I mean, people probably know the IG page if they're listening to this, but if
I want to do something more with that, but it's, I think it's Suns Community. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you think I would know more Suns Community. I'm pretty sure.
Cool. I am bad. I've never made it. I love going on TikTok. I've never made a TikTok in my life. So I respect that you are even, willing to try that. Cause it's a whole other world, but, I know you're trying to grow that page so people can go check you out there. Obviously @_planetorange_ on IG. And, we'll be back Wednesday, guys. I think we'll do, I'm hoping to get another local guest, more in the media, bigger time media than me type of place. I don't want to commit to anything because I haven't heard back, but we'll try to do that Wednesday, everybody. And then Friday, I think Aaron Edwards will be back. He's recovered from pulling his side muscle, so he'll be back to join us as he does every week to close out the week. If there's any news, I'll be right here for it. As always, you can follow the show @LockedOnPHX Suns. A big thanks for making Locked On Suns your first listen today. Now, Go make Locked On NBA your second listen to catch up on everything else going on around the league.